Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. We are awaiting a press conference by the FBI related to the Charlie Kirk assassination. We'll carry that for you as soon as it starts to happen. In the meantime, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock here on Saturdays, and also the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club, and go watch a movie and talk about it afterwards. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
So just 9 movies today, quick time, no big deal.
Yeah.
All right. The big release is Demon Slayer: Infinite Castle.
Yeah. I wanted to highlight this because A, it is going to be the number one movie in America this weekend, and B, I think a lot of people still don't realize what a big deal anime has become in the U.S. audience now.
Yeah.
Occasionally we'll talk about an anime film getting a theatrical release here. But this is probably the biggest or one of the biggest anime properties that's out there right now. It's a huge global phenomenon, but it's a huge phenomenon in the U.S. too. This is working with Penscon, the actors from this show are some of the ones we get the most requests for. When you see these guys at conventions, they have the biggest lines. There are a lot of fans of this stuff. The property is about a young guy named Tanjiro, whose sister Nezuko. Becomes part demon, and he joins a group of demon hunters trying to save his sister. And so this is the big film where the demon hunter corps is trapped in the demon realm, and they're going to have this big fight. As I understand it, going to be the first part of a trilogy of films, and not the first film in this series by any means. And of course, there's a series as well. So it's a lot, and it could be hard to figure out where to dive in on this stuff.
Yeah.
But this seems like it's going to be a good entry point, and it's getting really good reviews.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I know a lot of parents probably know their kids are into it, and they're like, what should I do? Well, I mean, maybe go watch this one. All right. Let's see if we can get through these ones. My handwriting is so bad. The Something Walker.
the Long Walk.
Thank you. The Long Walk.
So this is actually based on the very first novel that Stephen King wrote, albeit not the first one that was published.
Yeah, yeah.
This was one of the Bachman books, one of the ones that was published under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. And it's kind of the genesis for everything from Hunger Games to Battle Royale to things like Squid Game. These 50 young people are drawn in a lottery. They have to walk and keep walking, maintaining a minimum pace of 3 miles an hour through all kinds of weather, no stopping. And if you stop or you fall or you get injured, you get a bullet in the head. And the last winner gets, untold riches and anything they wish, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Great reviews on this. This is actually directed by the person that directed most of the Hunger Games movies.
Oh, okay.
So kind of makes some sense.
I love Stephen King is such a great author and so many great premises. So that sounds very interesting to me. Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues.
Yeah.
With all the same people.
It only took 41 years to get a sequel to one of the greatest comedies of all time and kind of the genesis of the entire mockumentary format, the things that, have gone on to bring us things like The Office and Parks and Rec and so many great things over the years. The original Spinal Tap is an untouchable classic. You've got all of the original cast back, Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer, and of course I've now forgotten one of them all out of my head entirely. But Michael McKean, of course,
okay.
And then Rob Reiner, not just the director, but playing the director on camera as well,
right?
As he did in the first film.
Reviews?
I don't think this one is as universally beloved as the original one was. It is getting decent reviews. It's running 70% on Rotten.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, that's definitely good enough for me. So, and we are just completely out of time, especially because we were thinking that the press conference might begin here with Charlie Kirk. But we've got the Downton Abbey grand finale after the reunion tour after the last movie. Rabbit very Trap, Baltimoreans. I love that name. Ellie and the Monster Team, Looking Through Water and Triumph of the Heart. Any one of these you want to highlight for us?
Downton Abbey and the Baltimoreans are both getting very good reviews. I think Downton Abbey is, again, it's kind of that you're into it or you're not.
Yeah.
The other three, not screened for critics.
Baltimoreans, that title alone makes me laugh. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays, and the founder of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate you adapting to our total uncertainty about what's happening right now with the press conferences and stuff. So thank you.
Totally understandable. No worries. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, 8:15 News Radio 92.3. If we get a chance to air it, find out why brother Andrew likes FDOT in the Transgressors Memorial Service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
We are back to rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you...
Adams Homes, in conjunction with Acrisure Mortgage, invites you to a special pop-up home expo. It's happening tomorrow from 10 till 2 at Turtle Creek, a new cottage home neighborhood community featuring completed homes ready to move in now. At Turtle Creek, you'll find beautiful and affordable new homes, plus vendors, giveaway drawings, even food trucks. Adams Home agents will be on hand to show and discuss unbelievable purchase incentives, plus lenders with Acrisure Mortgage to answer all your questions. Acrisure Mortgage is a top 20 national leader in home underwriting, processing, and closing, offering great rates and extensive home loan product options. Real-time loan updates and available when you need them most. Don't miss it. The Pop-Up Home Expo, tomorrow from 10 till 2 at the new Adams Homes Turtle Creek Cottage Homes Community, just off Highway 29, 3 miles north of the paper mill in Cantonment. Brought to you by Adams Homes and Expo sponsor Acrisure Mortgage.
Hey, and if you are looking at a home, buying, selling, whatever the case may be, maybe it's a rental property you're thinking about, or a beach home, or, you know, it's time to increase house size because family's growing, or you're empty nesting and you want to downsize or go to a condo even. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're fantastic at this. They sell about four homes every single week after week. That means they know what they're doing. They know what the market's doing. It's fresh evidence all the time of what's happening, and they know what you can ask for, what you can't ask for, what you have to say yes to, what you don't have to say yes to, and what the price is, which, of course, is one of the key things everybody wants to know. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
When you need any job done outdoors, you need 5-Star Outdoor Services. They handle it all. Lawn care, landscaping, power washing, concrete, clearing, decks, privacy fencing, you name it, they can do it. With pride in their work and at a price that's right. 5-Star Outdoor Services is a local company with your satisfaction their main goal. Dependable, reliable, and affordable. See for yourself. Google 5-Star Outdoor Services or check them out on Facebook for all jobs outdoors. 5-Star Outdoor Services.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Florida's 1st District Court of Appeals, which this week struck down the Gunshine State's ban on the open carry of firearms, claiming the Supreme Court precedent required them to allow citizens to walk around with pistols and rifles because of the words written by a bunch of dead white guys on a piece of parchment 234 years ago. The 3-judge panel unanimously ruled that the Bruin precedent from the Supreme Court requires that any restriction on the Second Amendment show a historical example of a relevantly similar law that was allowed near the time of the founding of the country in order to stand. Since no such example exists, now Florida has become the 47th state with some version of open carry, leaving only the three precious People's Republics of New York, Illinois, and California without such a ridiculous and dangerous practice. As you, my faithful Lutheran, already know, this is only the latest in a long series of erosions of respect for peace and safety in Florida, as that state has placed armed guards in its schools, allowed concealed carry without even having to get a permit, and is actually right now in the middle of a guns and ammunition sales tax holiday week, even as we speak. Disgusting. Now, it is true that after the Parkland atrocity, Florida did enact red flag laws and prohibit gun purchases by 18 to 20-year-olds. However, both of those have been under attack, and the latter may soon be heard and possibly overturned by the Supreme Court. For those of us who believe that it is guns who kill people, not people who kill people, we just cannot believe yet another state is going to trust the average, barely literate citizen with the ability to protect themselves in public by openly carrying a gun. Just imagine how scary this will be for all the criminals. Forced into a life of crime by economic desperation and the oppression of systemic white supremacy culture. All those poor would-be robbers want to do is go into a store or walk down a dark street and practice a little redistribution of wealth from the haves to the have-nots without too much trouble. It was bad enough before when they had to worry that someone in Florida might secretly be armed, but at least they had the comfort of knowing that most people are either too slow to actually get a gun out from under their shirt or else too lazy to endure the inconvenience of carrying concealed in the first place. But now, to have to see all those guns actively deterring them from their economic justice and readily available right on people's hips like the rest of the country? It's so distressful to imagine. They might even need counseling for their post-traumatic stress from Law and Order, or PTSLO. And just consider the anxiety this will cause to all the people who believe that their neighbors and fellow Americans aren't responsible and can't be trusted with adult responsibilities. At least before, they didn't have to see them, but now they'll have to actually think about the basic ideas of the country. You know, trusting citizens with the right to vote, putting our lives in their hands when we drive down the road, and hoping that the mad psychosis of mere gun possession won't suddenly overtake thousands of their fellow Floridians in a first-of-its-kind wave of homicidal mania that has literally never been witnessed in any other state that already has open carry. It's simply all too much to endure. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, can we take just a moment and celebrate the outstanding work being done by the Florida Department of Transportation to stifle dissent and impose its sensibilities upon Florida's cities and counties? Of course, you all remember, we were conflicted about the way FDOT painted over the Pulse nightclub rainbow crosswalk, turning those beautiful LGBTQ2SIA+ colors into boring black rectangles. Well, they've now done the same thing in Delray Beach, where they went in at night and shoddily painted black over one of the most colorful intersections in the state, and have done so in many other municipalities as well. Now, we certainly dislike erasing symbols that celebrate the people of the holy acronym string, but we really admire the way the FDOT censorship strike teams go in aggressively in the middle of the night under cover of darkness and dictate street content to the unruly and unrepentant locals. Of course, we also love the fact that everywhere they go, FDOT leaves in their wake a trail of roads that literally couldn't be any blacker. Whose streets? Black streets. Well, now FDOT has done it in a whole new way. They've snuck into Longboat Key and taken down all the street signs that identified the Gulf of Mexico Drive since 1957. Of course, this is the follow-up to President We Never Say His Name Out Loud's changing of the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America and the state of Florida's decision to officially follow suit in everything from its own ordinances to things like the Pensacola Sailfish sign. Although we didn't agree with the renaming per se, we love the idea of changing names, replacing long-standing labels with newer and sillier ones, revisionist history, and especially government coercion of content because, although Florida is currently firmly in the control of those wicked Republicans, we are confident that one day the Democrats will swing back into power, and when we do, non-gender-specific young person, will there be some changes? And now that the Republicans have gotten into the cancellation and name change gang alongside us, they will have no grounds for objecting when we run the state and impose our ideas upon them. So keep it up, FDOT. We celebrate what you're doing. We admire the military precision of your cultural reformation strike teams and their night vision paint and dismantling efforts. We see you, and we don't see you. But we like your style, and we can't wait to run the department ourselves one day. Thank you for paving, repaving, and repainting the way for us. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate one of the best pieces of news this week by awarding our highly coveted platinum-plated Birkenstock of Wisdom Award with three rainbow tassels to U.S. District Judge Michael F. Urbanski for his ruling against the Shenandoah, Virginia County School Board, rebuking their decision to restore the original name to Stonewall Jackson High School. As he wrote in his 71-page opinion, making the students intertwine their talent, work, and achievements with the name of a Confederate general is an unacceptable coercion of speech. He wrote that the school board is essentially forcing students to honor the Confederacy by their attendance at a school with this name, turning them into what he called mobile billboards for a message they don't support, which is a violation of their First Amendment right not to speak in favor of things they hate. This recognition that students have the right not to have to say the name of a school they disagree with is such a beautiful sentiment that we want to see it become the standard for school names everywhere. Of course, we recognize it might be difficult to choose names for schools nobody would object to. Obviously, American president names are out because of the, you know, white, male, racist, sexist, depression stuff. No student should have to wear a uniform that speaks the name of George Washington or Theodore Roosevelt. Don't say their name. Naming them after other prominent figures in history runs the same risk, since everyone either already has flaws we know about, or future people will define their flaws that we didn't know about now and cancel old names. We wouldn't want to run the risk of that. Place names, of course, like simple Shenandoah High School or the temporary Mountain View High, are also problematic because presumably some students are not big fans of the viewing of mountains, or they don't fully embrace Shenandoahism. And we wouldn't want them to feel their speech was coerced into supporting these hurtful geographic references. So how should we refer to schools if not by name? Well, maybe we could refer to the schools by street address. Unfortunately, in this case, the high school is located at 150, you guessed it, Stonewall Lane. So that isn't much in the way of an improvement. Maybe a system like New York City, where you have PS 142 for public school 142. But what if a student objects to government-funded schools or personally disagrees with Arabic numbering? How dare we impose base 10 supremacy culture upon them? Am I right? So maybe the only answer here is to let each student decide for him, her, or themselves what to call the school they attend, and then we can celebrate the rainbow of fruit flavors of all the different names for all the different schools, and everyone can be happy, and nobody can feel like their speech is compelled by the unacceptable school names they have to write on their college application. See? Solved. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Hurtful geographic names. 827 News Radio 92.3. We're still waiting for the press conference from the FBI out of Utah. We will be carrying that as soon as it becomes available. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98, Highway 29. All our major arteries are looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump now says that Memphis, Tennessee might be next on the list as the part of the crime crackdown.
Deeply troubled. We're going to fix that just like we did Washington.
He called the city deeply troubled. And also, though, he says the Memphis mayor, who is a Democrat, is actually on board with the plan, although he didn't outline what agencies would be involved or when any of that could happen. As of today, applications are available for Florida's first bear hunt in 10 years. That hunt will take place in December, limited, of course, to the designated bear zones. The closest one is to the east of here a little ways.
Is the rear parking lot of the Gulf Breeze Elementary School part of the bear hunt zone?
No, that is not in the zone.
Okay, so the alert we got this morning about there being bears back there is maybe... You can't do anything about it.
Not going to be able to do anything about it.
All right. You know. What else you got, sir?
Well, Uber is now being sued by the U.S. Justice Department for allegedly discriminating against people with physical disabilities. The lawsuit claims that Uber and its drivers routinely refuse to serve individuals with disabilities, including people who travel with service animals or use stowable wheelchairs. Uber's also accused of charging extra fees for riders that need those accommodations.
Hmm. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 829 here on News Radio 92.3. We are, as I say, still waiting for the press conference from the FBI to tell us the latest, although the breaking news this morning has been that President Trump was on Fox and Friends claiming that they have the person they believe is the murderer in the killing of Charlie Kirk in custody. Weird story. It sounds like his parents actually helped him turn himself in. That's amazing. I mean,
I guess the parents didn't want to get their house raided.
I don't know. He's facing the death penalty, and that he volunteered to turn himself in is a pretty amazing story, along with everything else. You know, they found the rifle yesterday, or maybe the day, I don't know, the day before. They, you know, they showed video. His face has been, or his, you know, pictures of him have been everywhere. So it's, I mean, this is, it is not a surprise that he's been discovered, identified, and that he's in custody, if that is the case, just because I thought, like, once you put this many people and that much information on the trail, it won't be long. Meanwhile, in the course of Northwest Florida, we now have confirmation from all five of our local law enforcement agencies, Pensacola Police, Escambia Sheriff, Santa Rosa Sheriff, Milton, and Gulf Breeze Police Departments, that they are not enforcing the state ban on open carry, 790.053. A little bit of disagreement about whether 18, 19, and 20-year-olds can lawfully carry right now or not. I don't recommend you try it. Also, don't carry in a sensitive area, and maybe don't be, don't be too pushy about it, too.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump visiting Fox News headquarters in New York. Breaking news after the assassination of young conservative Turning Point founder Charlie Kirk.
I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him.
Right
in custody, right? In custody, everyone did a great job. We worked with the local police, the governor. Everybody did a great job.
Saying the people close to the shooter helped turn him in, and the suspect is at police headquarters. The president demonstrating he's still making high-profile appearances after the 9/11 tribute and attending the Yankees game to Stadium Chants of USA, telling the Yankees they would win, and they did. President Trump also announcing the next city he'll send the National Guard is Memphis. The second would-be Trump assassin, Ryan Ruth, facing FBI witnesses on the second day of his federal trial in Florida. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Of course, we are still waiting for this FBI update after President Trump said the suspect in the Charlie Kirk murder has been arrested. We'll have that live for you just as soon as that goes live here today. An Escambia County man reportedly attempted to commit suicide as deputies were about to speak with him regarding allegations of a sexual assault, and that happened last Thursday. 59-year-old Edward Lewis was accused of sexually assaulting a victim under 12 years old. The allegations had been reported earlier this month to the sheriff's office. Deputies say Lewis denied those allegations initially when talking with investigators, who then went to interview the victim. As they were returning to speak with Lewis again, they heard a bang and saw that Lewis had shot himself. He had a wound on his chin and his forehead. He was taken to the hospital by EMS, and he's been remotely booked into the Escambia County Jail as he receives care. This fall, about 900 more students in Escambia County will be receiving free medical, dental, and tutoring services. Brentwood and West Pensacola Elementary Schools joining the Healthy School Escambia Initiative. The program originally was launched back in January at the Global Learning Academy in O.J. Sims Elementary. The program had already provided care and mentoring for hundreds of students. Jessica Johnson runs the program. She says that services will be tailored to each individual school's needs. Santa Rosa County Commissioners voted to approve rate increases for parks, recreational venues, and various service fees yesterday. New rates will double pavilion rental costs at popular sites like the Navarre Beach Marine Park, while community center rentals will increase from $25 to $50 per hour. Additionally, hangar rental fees at the Peter Prince Airport will be increasing to align with market rates. That should generate about $298,000 annually to help fund a mandated $11.5 million airport overhaul. A new tropical disturbance has emerged in the eastern Atlantic, now just a couple days past the statistical peak of hurricane season. Although there's currently no indications that that could head towards Florida, the National Hurricane Center did note the disturbance in its seven-day outlook. They are predicting some slow development in that over the next week, models suggesting it would have a west-northwest track. The 2025 Atlantic hurricane season has been a bit quieter than usual, with fewer storms than historical averages. Well, the man accused of plotting to kill then-presidential candidate Donald Trump is on trial in Palm Beach County. That continues today. And the first witness took the stand yesterday. It was Secret Service agent who said he confronted Ruth after he spotted him on the golf course or near the golf course last September.
Robert Furcano revealing that while then-candidate Trump played golf in South Florida last September, Ruth was closer to the Republican presidential nominee than previously known, just one hole away.
And that's NBC's Jesse Kirsch. A second witness, Tommy McGee, also testifying, saying he saw Ruth fleeing the scene and talked to police, giving him information. During cross-examination, Ruth gave McGee a thumbs up and said he did a good job. During opening statements, the judge had to cut Ruth off, saying he made a mockery of the courtroom. Ruth, of course, is representing himself. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. The I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Highway 29, both northbound and southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. I've seen just some minor slowdowns, but other than that, that's all I see. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Going into your weekend, nice sunny skies on Saturday, high near 89 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Keeping your beautiful sunshiny forecast around on Sunday with a high near 89 degrees. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, and right now we've got 72 degrees. It is sunny, looking like a beautiful day. We are watching for this FBI update. Once that goes live, we will have that for you right here on News Radio 92.3. 8:36, our next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime. And your money now this morning. Taking a look at our markets here at the opening bell. The Dow down 51 and a quarter points at 46,056.78. S&P down just under 2 points at 65.85. NASDAQ is up about 19 and a quarter points today at 22,062.339. Our 10-year bond rate up at 4.064%. Gold prices are up 13.50 at 36.87.10. Silver up 47 cents at 42.62. And Bitcoin up about 550 this morning at 114.979. Ethereum's up 89.26 at 45.12. Solana is up 12.40. And Dogecoin up just under 1 cent today. Taking a look at a couple of our financial headlines. About 3,000 Boeing employees in the St. Louis area are set to vote today on a tentative deal that would get them back to work and end their strike. A 5-year contract would call for about a 45% wage increase. The U.S. was on the receiving end of a 1-2 punch of bad economic news yesterday. The Labor Department saying inflation ticked up in August to the fastest pace it has since January. The Consumer Price Index increased by 0.4% last month, following a 0.2% rise for July. And an appeals court allowing the federal government to cut off Medicaid funds to Planned Parenthood. Thursday's ruling by the First Circuit Court of Appeals overturned a lower court that blocked a 1-year ban on state Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood, part of President Trump's massive spending and tax cut bill. The appeal court's order overturning the ban didn't give the judges views on the case. 8:38, our next news at 9. Again, still waiting for this FBI update. Our next news at 9. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
The hip, the hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for me to talk about the events of the week with a couple of friends. In this case, we have Josh Newby, the executive director, as I said, the executive president of the Council on Aging in Northwest Florida, and another good friend, Collier Merrill, who is the owner of the Great Southern Restaurants and Collier Land. And all, I mean, he's on every committee, and he's, you know, I mean, I don't know what he doesn't control, pretty much all the things. Is that right, Collier? You just control all the things?
Yeah, we'll say that.
Let people believe that.
Oh, by the way, two quick notes. One, we are still waiting on the FBI press conference, and at this point they said they don't even know. They're going to try to give us a five-minute heads up, so, I mean, it could be after 9 o'clock. I don't know what's happening with this. None of us do. They did come out and say that they weren't sure. The other is, and let's talk first about this, the Sanger protest from last night. This has been the big story of the day, not necessarily of the week, but, you know, a bunch of local pastors brought a bunch of their congregation to city council last night to protest a Christmas drag queen show. And, they said that it was unchristian to have this thing on December 23rd. The Sanger, being a city owned property, shouldn't be hosting blasphemous, sexually lurid, inappropriate, culturally hostile, you know, toxic material. The attorney for the city said, okay, so first of all, we cannot violate the First Amendment. We'd get sued and lose. Second of all, we have a contract with them. If we broke it, we'd get sued and lose. whether they should have booked it in the first place, ASM, that's a good question. Probably stupid to book it on December 23rd in Pensacola, Florida. But what I've said is, look, an open pluralistic society involves people saying things you hate, including blasphemy, including content of all sorts, whether it's R-rated movies or Game of Thrones or, you know, performers who come to the Sanger and do comedy shows and on and on. And before we get to your comments, I had James Johnson actually called, the pastor called, because I had played his comments, and he wanted to make sure that I knew the Bible and that I'd read Romans 13 and that government is a terror to evil, and I did. And that, you know, John the Baptist protested the misbehavior of Herod and, of course, got beheaded for it. And I said, yes. And that was kind of the end of our conversation. And I said, look, we probably disagree about a pluralistic society, but yes, of course, as a Christian, you know, I'm well aware of these things. Anyway, so...
Let me speak. I grew up Southern Baptist. I went to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pace. You know, I've made my
rounds. By the way, he was very nice.
I'm sure. But let me from a marketing or PR perspective, let me speak to the pastors who were at the city council meeting last night.
Best promo ever.
This is not a good look for you. This city, this county, Northwest Florida has so many problems. You have people living in abject poverty. You have seniors who are homebound. You have kids who are not fed. And I know you're going to say, well, we do all those things. We feed the homeless. We house the unhoused, blah, blah, blah. And that's great. But people don't know that. If you're not going to your church, mm-hmm. you don't know that. I know Jubilee Church distributes food every Saturday, and that's wonderful, and I absolutely support you in that.
And they were not a part of this last night.
Right. But just when FYI. It comes to legislative advocacy, why is it that every evangelical, every Southern Baptist pastor suddenly decides to stand up and make this the thing? Go to city council and protest homelessness. Go to county commission and talk to them about, you know, all the habitat homes or tiny homes or like something that would actually help people. It is such a bad look, and it turns off 50% of the population from ever wanting to step foot into your church and actually hear the message of the gospel, which is Christ risen.
I thought when I was younger that this was what Christianity was, and it kept me from being a Christian for a long time because I thought— You've got to protest things that you've never even experienced, and this is, you know, that's what Christianity looks like. That's what I thought, you know, and that was part of what kept me away from it for a long time. I don't think this wins souls,
right?
And I definitely think that they generated ticket sales for an event that they were trying to stop, which they did not stop.
Right.
Thoughts, Collier?
I think Josh did it very elegantly. That was Josh Newby. That was the quote on that earlier. No, until I walked in here, I didn't know that was going down. I think the timing of that is probably pretty bad.
Yeah, December 23rd is ASM sure. should not have scheduled.
Sure.
You got to know your marketplace better. Just like they should know the audience better, ASM should know the audience better.
Right.
And scheduling this on December 23rd was boneheaded. But once they've done it,
yeah,
you can't cancel it. Because then you're going to get sued for First and 14th Amendment and
last thing I'll say is that because I know a lot of these churches are probably going to, you know, distribute tracts outside of the Sanger on December 23rd to try to save all of these sinners. Instead of doing that, find a couple of the homeless people who sleep on Palafox
And why don't you let them use your building that's empty 5 days a week?
You know, that's a whole other subject of the single-purpose facility that's only occupied a couple of hours a week. I mean, I've seen community centers that were churches, you know.
Beautiful, state-of-the-art facilities used for
several of them.
Six hours a week.
Right. And you know, when you you create a multi-purpose facility that is used all the time, it's a wonderful thing. Collier, part of the reason I wanted to have you on today is because I saw two stories that relate directly to your industry. Restaurateur, not land development. One story was that you have a lot of people these days, young people particularly, who are negative on alcohol. Something like 50%, if I remember right, they said that they don't drink and they don't believe in drinking. Even moderate drinking has fallen out of favor. Well, if you run a bar, you know, or if you run a restaurant that sells alcohol, that's a problem. Second is all the Ozempic users, all the people who are on these weight loss medications. They're not eating so much, so they're not going out to eat. How are you seeing these things affect your restaurants?
All these healthy people, man.
Bad for business.
Crazy, man.
Know,
it's crazy.
Right?
You know, the drinking aspect, the specific thing, I don't know. I've seen, they still come out. You know, it's funny, a lot of them, like, they'll order a lot of stuff. They just eat a little bit of it.
They
like,
nibble it.
Yeah.
Okay, they sample it.
And they feel excited about it, you know. It's like, because they know they're not going to, and I'm using two female friends that I know there that, and they're just like, look at all this stuff. And they know they can't eat it all. So they're just like.
They smell it? I mean, what do they do?
It's exciting. Yeah. They taste it.
The mouthfeel.
They have a little.
But they know they didn't have good self-control before, but now I guess the drug keeps it from doing it. I don't know, but it's funny when you see them order four or five things. Normally they wouldn't eat that. And they're like, oh, yeah, look at all this great stuff. No, they're just, their willpower.
Well, so they're still spending money.
Right.
They're
you
just
can, you
they're
can
spending
pay for what
money.
They
overall, I don't think, I'm getting enough of that. There's people that feel that way. But, you know, on the underage, or not underage.
Moderate drinking.
I was kind of going, the underage drinkers, which there's still out there some, and drinkers, I'll say one thing. Nobody in this age group, and I'm the oldest one in this room, you know, we didn't have Ubers and we certainly didn't take cabs. We kind of, whoever hadn't had the most to drink starts driving and whatever. They are very good about not drinking and driving.
Oh.
Extremely good. I mean, the parents, and I've certainly done it with my children, have beat it into them, you know, call me, get the Uber, whatever. They're a little freewheeling on those Ubers when they're going out, especially, you know, when they're going out to eat somewhere and they're taking an Uber, like, why? Well, in case we drink too much. I said, well, you're already planning that ahead by
doing
right,
that. Right.
But they're very good about not, for the most part, you know, at least the peer groups that I've seen coming through my house. Stuff,
check one.
That's also kind
one.
Of.
Two, three, four,
but
five.
They, you know, I think.
That's interesting, too, because I also see the younger people not driving as much either.
100%.
And so if they
don't even get their driver's
they're
license.
Not driving. I mean, my kids are very late to get their driver's licenses.
Yeah.
And some combination of all of these factors, it's a sea change. And that maybe that's good for the drunk driving problem, too. So that's interesting.
Oh, I think 100% it is. You know, the other thing, you know, we're talking
about. Hey,
caller,
hang on for just a quick second. Let's get John in here with traffic on the fires before we come back to this. Go ahead, John.
No accidents to report to you, nor delays. Everything is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. All right. Back to caller, Mary.
Well,
you were going to say
you
something
know,
else.
No accidents. Classic example. Everybody's taking their Ubers today. But I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with all the THC products coming out now. I think that is going to be if you were a true bar, which we're not, you know, we do sell alcohol in the restaurants, but a true bar, somebody going out that might have had two or three drinks and spent $30, if they get, you know, one of these cans that has, they can have.
You can buy them at the grocery store now.
Correct.
The
but
nines,
if they go out and order one at the bar, that's all they're going to need. Some of these can have as much as legally, you know, 50 milligrams of THC in it. You know, where a gummy was 10 and you took one and, you know, sat down for an hour and waited to see what happened.
Yeah.
You can have one drink that has 50 milligrams. I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens on that. But if you're a bar and you sell one for $8, I mean, that's all the money you're going to get.
You're not making 40 or 50 off of that, that
doesn't
person,
that,
right?
Doesn't that stimulate your appetite, though, from what I've heard? Andrew, can you elaborate on if that's true?
Well, from what I take away from Collier is he likes people to be less healthy, and he's hoping that they get the munchies a lot when they come to Jackson. So is that, did I summarize it all accurately?
Yeah, you had the truffle fries.
8:49 on News Radio 92.3. But I was just curious how that was going for you. So thank you for sharing that. The other, I mean, God, I I don't really want to talk about this, but the Charlie Kirk is just, for somebody who stands up for free speech, for who was in debate. He was literally debating at the time he was killed. And to see the reaction, too, from people who now want to silence the people who they disagree with and the other side wants to silence this. I feel like maybe one of the, I hope I'm not one of the few standing up for, just let everybody talk. Let's talk. Yeah. Let everybody talk. That's why I like this this drag thing. I don't like it.
Right.
I don't celebrate it. But let people do their art. Let them do their theater. Let them do their speaking. Let them express their ideas. I want open campuses with open conversation.
And, I mean, debate is just so fundamental to this country, to the founding of this country, to every single one of the federal. I mean, it's just so integral to who we are as a society and to having a functioning democracy. And look, I mean, I didn't like Charlie Kirk. You know, I found his views and the words he used horrendous. I of the Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, you know, Charlie Kirk triad, I honestly considered him the worst.
The most. I will confess extreme. That I know Ben better and I don't know the others. This is not a part of conservatism, popular culture that I have really consumed a lot of. So it
I
wasn't
listen to it.
It
sometimes.
Wasn't a person that I followed.
Yeah.
But I would defend this. I would be horrified no matter whether it was him as a conservative or some raging liberal. None of that matters to me.
Right. Oh, likewise.
Content is irrelevant.
I mean, like you often say, you know, I hate what you say. I'll defend to the death your right to say it. I mean, I've seen him. I've heard him and watched videos of him using racial slurs. I mean, really awful stuff. But this is America, and I'm sorry, but that is a part of it. And better to have that out in the open and given the opportunity to address those issues, the way you lose the debate is by silencing your opponent.
Absolutely. And the worst form of silencing sometimes is using government to silence,
right.
Sometimes is using deplatforming as silencing, and sometimes is using violence. And all of those, what you're trying to destroy, it only gets stronger usually when you force it to go underground and plot its revenge, so to speak.
Now he's a martyr.
Yeah.
Well, and that kind of goes back to what Josh was saying in the opening here, talking about the Singer Theater. So I didn't know about it, walked in here. I know about it now.
Right.
I know when it is, December 23rd. You know, I might
You'll
check,
be there.
I might check ticket. Yeah,
right.
Well, it has certainly put that out in the mainstream. And a quick story, when I was head of the art museum back in the 90s, we were doing the member show.
It was PMA?
Yes,
okay.
Pensacola Museum of Art. Is four is under UWF control, but you know, it's just there. I tell this story a lot. I followed Lewis Baer. He got me involved. Big Lewis and I were great friends, and he was chairman, and I followed him as chairman the next year, which meant Lewis was still chairman. But but we did this member show, and there was two pieces of artwork that were unbelievable from these students at UWF, and one was a abortion protest, and it was very graphic at that. Another one was a nude that was very graphic about procreation stuff. And one of the and like the art guild said, if we put those in, we're closing down the museum. You know, you cannot put that in. And I had this professor from UWF on our board. It says, well, you can't censorship. And I was kind of like, well, I could get by with this one and not that one. He goes, what, Carrie, why do you get to judge? You know, and he made a good sense. And I said, God, you know, what do? The art museum closes and everybody protests, and he, great idea. He goes, this is what you do. You screen that work off. You put it in another room, screen it off, and say, it may be offensive if you go back here and look at that.
Give them a little preparation.
And you talk about the line out the door to go see
right.
that.
Best day ever.
Oh, yeah.
Because once we said it may be offensive to go back, you know, then people want to go back there. So, you know, it's kind of like this. The more they put to it, the more it's, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen of broadcasting that, and just like you said, on silence and different speaker, that just makes it worse, you know. Mm-hmm. Underground, let everybody have their free speech and do what they want to do, and you know, if you want to go to a speech, go.
Right.
And you know, one of the things I would say is, if the standard is going to be that which offends or that which I find offensive, I mean, the Bible itself carries some very offensive things in it.
That's a good point.
And not because it's wrong, but because we're wrong,
right.
But you have to let it offend you so that you can learn, well, why did God say that? And sometimes with art the same way. It can be offensive in a way that's productive. I mean, that to me is the being willing to be challenged by things that are not comfortable.
And I think,
for the Bible, if you stand for the Bible, you've got to recognize there are many things in the Bible that, at first blush, are horrific. I mean, the prophet calls down a bear out of the woods to kill the kids that made fun of him. Oh, good prophet. You know, like, yeah. Oh my God. Well, understand it. Think about it. But that's something that, you know, why would that be included? Well, because the Bible is supposed to challenge you. And I think good theater, good literature, good art is, it's supposed to bug you and bother you and upset you and make you think about things, sometimes productively, sometimes not, but that's part of the gig.
Last thing I'll say about Kirk, I'll give him his flowers, that he punctured what is very often an insular echo chamber culture on college campuses. And you're exactly right. Be uncomfortable. Be offended. Be challenged. Good. I mean, that's what colleges should be
doing. Reconsider what you take for granted that all your friends say is true.
Yes. And if nothing else, if you leave there still in the same category, at least you know what the opposition says. And at least you know that your beliefs can stand up to scrutiny.
And I don't know what's true of any of the people who showed up last night, because I don't know any of these people personally. But I do know fellow Christians, historically, and Christians often insulate ourselves too much.
Yeah.
We say this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and we consume, you know, Christian literature and Christian art and Christian movies, which are usually of fairly low quality, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But the right things are being said. And then we get around other people who believe the same things, say the same things. We all convince ourselves that we're all right, and that's just as problematic, especially for a community that's supposed to have a task of reaching the people outside the community.
Yep.
How do you reach them if you can't understand them? Yep. You know, how do you, you know, Paul clearly understood the people he was writing to and the context around it. And, you know, if you get around a bunch of people who tell you yes, yes, yes all the time, and then you go down to city council and you're all together protesting, have you really considered a Christian like Andrew McKay is going to tell you you're mistaken? Do you take that seriously, or do you think, well, he just doesn't know his Bible? John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you right now. Everything's looking good. And John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Collier, you look like you're getting up on that mic real quick. No?
I was just checking the I want to make sure John had the traffic right.
Looks like we're a couple minutes out from this press conference starting. We will carry it as soon as it does happen, but just want to let you know it's been an hour in the works to have this press conference. And I know they want to get the right information. Yeah. They want to make it clear, and they don't want to have ambiguity. And they got to talk about what they can't say, because there's going to be a lot of things that they won't say. And I think that's actually very important. Last one for today, probably. I thought seismic news when the First District Court of Appeals decided that open carry is now the law of at least their district. James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, says, yeah, we're not going to appeal this. And so I think by default, it's the law in Florida, because the Supreme Court, based on their most recent rulings, Bruin has said that there's no historical precedent for banning open carry. That's now the law of Florida. It's likely to become the law of Illinois, New York, California, the only states left that don't have open carry in some form. But this is, I mean, people are going to be
citing this as precedent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
No, I think this is. I think this is only eventuality in turn. So, but then the question is, okay, you know, Collier, you own restaurants. You know, Josh, you go to community centers, you know, and you deal with elderly, and I go all over the place, and I have restrained from open carrying yet, even though it is lawful and the local enforcement, they say they're not going to, you know, enforce it. But I think you should be smart. I've said that many times. Be smart, you know, understand the reality that most people probably still don't know that this is the law. Do you guys have plans yet for if you're going to do anything, or is it just going to be, you know, because grocery stores, theaters, everybody who's thinking about this is now going to have to make a decision. Do we just allow open carry in our venues? Do we prohibit it? Do we put up a sign? What?
Yeah, so it's very interesting, especially up in the panhandle here. So a restaurant, as long as you do more in sales and food and you're not a bar, you know, bar is automatically banned, open or concealed. You cannot carry in there, whether it's a sign posted or not. You need to know the laws for that. Restaurant or any other private business can post a sign, no guns, concealed or otherwise. And if somebody violates that, you trespass them. So it's a misdemeanor, they're trespassed, and come back in. We were supposed to do a story yesterday about it, and one of the TV affiliates was going to do it, and they changed the story, so we didn't do it. I was kind of, you know, doing a little research on it. You know, I looked at McDonald's. McDonald's says we leave it up to the state laws. And the franchisee, and I think they kind of weigh on the franchisee, you know, take a look at it. Walmart had a very good statement, said, you know, while we, you know, support the Second Amendment and blah, 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 we prefer our law enforcement officers to have open carry in the store. And if you're not one, you know, think about it and stop short of saying we absolutely ban it, Walmart. And so I'm not sure. We hope it just, you know, I don't think, like you, Andrew, I don't think a lot of people are going to open carry.
I've lived in open carry states, and it's not common. You go to the grocery store, and out of 100 people, one or two carry. I mean,
maybe,
that's the norm.
Yeah.
So
I saw a North Carolina guy walk out of a store, and I didn't realize that was...
That's the thing. I think you just get used to it. You just get used to it, right. And it's really not that big of a deal. Collier, Merrill, Josh Newby, thank you so much for participating today. I appreciate it.
Listen on.